وَكَأَيِّن مِّن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ. And how many a prophet fought, and with him fought many religious scholars. فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. But they never lost assurance due to what afflicted them in the cause of Allah. وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Nor did they weaken or submit, and Allah loves those people who are steadfast. كَأَيِّن. كَأَيِّن together gives a meaning of كَ means like, and أَيِّن means which. And together it gives a meaning of how many, meaning so many. And كَأَيِّن always comes at the beginning of an ayah, at the beginning of a sentence, to show the multitude of the numbers of those who are being mentioned. So كَأَيِّن, how many, meaning so many, مِن نَبِيٍ of prophet, meaning there were so many prophets who قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ, he fought along with him, who fought along with him, رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ, many رِبِّيُّون. The word رِبِّيُّون, what does it remind you of? Any other word? رَبَّانِ. رِبِّيُّون is understood in two ways. First of all, it is said that رِبِّيُّون is derived from the word رِبَّة. رِبَّة. رَا بَا تَا مُرْبُوتَ with a شَدَّة on the بَا. رِبَّة. And رِبَّة is used for a large group of people, a large band, a huge band. And it is derived from the word رِبِّيَّة. رِبِّيَّة is used for 10,000. A group that is numbered around 10,000. According to Ibn Mas'ud, it means many thousands. Not just 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 or 10,000, but many, many thousands. So you can say thousands. Thousands. And رِبِّيُّون جَمَاعَات كَثِيرًا, meaning great numbers of people. Huge groups. Many, many groups. And all of these groups that were huge. So multitudes. Secondly, رِبِّيُّون is understood as رِبِّيُّون, meaning it is nisba to Rabb. Just as the word رَبَّانِي was nisba to Rabb. One of Rabb. And Rabb refers to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person might wonder, earlier we read رَبَّانِي from Rabb. Rabb, رَبَّانِي. But this is رِبِّي from Rabb. How come the harakat have changed? رِبِّي from Rabb. Rabb has a fatha under the ra. And رِبِّي has a kasra under the ra. Why? This happens in the Arabic language with some words. That when you make it as an association, when you give an association to it, when you make it of nisbah, then it changes the harakat. For example, Banu Umayyah. Banu Umayyah. Okay, with the Dhamma on the Hamza. Is a tribe. And a person from that tribe, what is he known as? Amawi. Amawi. So the word is actually Umayyah. And if you wish to refer to someone who from Banu Umayyah, what are you going to say? Amawi. So this is something that is understood in the Arabic language. So just because the harakat are different, you can't deny that رِبِّيُّون is from Rabb. So who are رِبِّيُّون? رِبِّيُّون are those who do ibadah of Rabb. Those who worship their Rabb. And رِبِّيُّون is also understood as فُقَهَا and ulama. And this is a statement of Hasan al-Basri. He said that رِبِّيُّون are فُقَهَا and ulama. Who are فُقَهَا? Those who have fiqh of the religion, those who have understanding of the religion. And ulama, knowledgeable ones. So رِبِّيُّون are the فُقَهَا and ulama. Just as the Prophet ﷺ had his sahaba, companions. They weren't just a few in number. They were many in number. And also, they weren't just those people who had iman in the Prophet ﷺ, but rather, they were fuqaha and they were also ulama. They truly understood the deen, they truly understood the Qur'an. The companions, some of them would say, that we know about every ayah, when it was revealed and why it was revealed. This is why when we learn about the tafsir of the Qur'an, we look at the statements of the companions as well. When we look at fiqh, when we study fiqh, what do we look at? The statements of the companions as well. Why? Because they weren't just believers, but they also understood the deen. They also knew the deen. So رِبِّيُّون is understood as large bands, great numbers of people. And secondly, devout servants of Allah. Devout scholars. those who fought for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is this word being used? Why is this word being used? To comfort the companions. That you're not the only ones. You're not the first ones to fight in the way of Allah along with the Prophet. But rather before you, there were so many prophets, and along with him, so many people. And they weren't ordinary people. They were righteous people. They used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were fuqaha, they were ulama. But they also went to fight along with the Prophet. Ribbiyuna kathir. They all fought. Fama wahanu. But what was their behavior when they were fighting along with the Prophet? Fama wahanu. They did not lose heart. When? Lima asabahum fi sabilillah. Because of what struck them in the way of Allah. Wahanu is from wahan. And what does wahan mean? Weakness. What kind of weakness? Weakness of the determination. Weakness of the heart. When a person feels deflated. When a person gives up. He doesn't have any confidence. He doesn't have any motivation left. So ma wahanu. They did not feel weak. They did not lose their confidence. They didn't say, oh, we cannot do this. It's not possible for me. This is too difficult. No. They didn't say this. Fama wahanu. They did not feel weak. When? In the face of what afflicted them in the way of Allah. Lima asabahum fi sabilillah. Because when a person goes out in the way of Allah, definitely he suffers difficulty. Definitely. For instance, you go to pray Taraweeh in the masjid in Ramadan. Is it going to be difficult? Yeah. For some people it is difficult. You come home and your legs are hurting, or you're very tired. Especially if Ramadan comes in the summer, where night begins very late, and you're up till 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, praying Taraweeh, and then you pray Qiyamul Layl, and then in the morning you have to go to work, you have to go to school. So when a person goes out in the way of Allah, when a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously there are going to be difficulties. Just like anything in life. If you wish to accomplish something, if you wish to do something, you will face difficulties. If you wish to excel in your studies, you are going to sacrifice in some way or the other. You are going to face some difficulties. This is a part of life. No pain, no gain. Right? If you don't suffer pain, then you don't gain anything. This is a principle of life. It's a part of life. And it definitely applies to practicing the deen as well. So, anything that they suffered in the way of Allah, they did not lose their confidence because of that. They did not lose their confidence because of that. When a person goes out in the way of Allah, sometimes he faces difficulty from within and sometimes from without. Internal difficulties, internal challenges, as well as external challenges. For instance, you get a headache. You feel sick. You're not feeling well. Or your body is hurting. When you are physically tired, for instance, you've been trying to memorize your lesson, and when you're done finally, you've spent 4 hours, you're exhausted by then, you're very tired. Now, this fatigue, this tiredness, should not make you lose your confidence. Should not make you say, oh, this is too difficult, I cannot do it anymore. No. Because the way of the Ribbiyun was not of wahan. They did not have wahan for what they suffered in the way of Allah. So sometimes the problems come from within. Sometimes you do not feel confident. You say, I cannot do it. This is too difficult. This is not possible for me. I cannot commit for a year and a half. Impossible. No way. I have too many commitments otherwhere. My life is too busy. Don't lose confidence. Sometimes the difficulties are from without, external difficulties. For instance, can you think of some examples? People discouraging you. Why are you putting yourself into so much hardship? You're still a believer if you don't study the Quran. It's okay, no big deal. Sometimes people come and discourage you. Sometimes people come and oppose you. Why are you going into so much of an extreme? Come on, you don't have to cover your head. It's okay. It's enough if you're praying 5 times a day. You don't have to do this. And sometimes if you decide that you are going to do something for the sake of Allah, other people, sometimes they mock at you. Sometimes they publicly criticize you. Sometimes you go to a gathering and people start making fun of your hijab, making fun of the fact that you have left your work and you are studying the Quran. But the way of the believer is not of wahan. فَمَا وَهَنُوا. They did not lose confidence. They did not give up. They did not lose their motivation because of what they suffered in the way of Allah. The Ribiyun, what did they suffer? The prophets were killed sometimes. So many of their companions got killed. But they did not lose their confidence. وَمَا ضَعْفُ And they did not become weak. ضَعْفُ is from ضَعْف. ضَاد عَيْنْفَ And ضَعْف refers to physical weakness. What does ضَعْف refer to? Physical weakness. So first of all, وَهَن And what is وَهَن? The weakness of determination. The weakness of motivation. The weakness of confidence. And ضَعْف is the weakness of the body. That sometimes, when you're physically tired, you don't find the strength to continue. Right? You don't find the strength to keep moving on. But what does Allah say over here? وَمَا ضَعْفُ They did not get tired. They did not show weakness. Despite the fatigue, despite the tiredness, despite the wounds that they had suffered, still they remained along the Prophet. They did not leave the Prophet. If we look at Umm Umara, for example, being a woman upon whom it wasn't even mandatory to go and participate in the battle, but when the need arose to defend the Prophet ﷺ, she stood up. She did not lose heart. She did not lose her confidence. I'm only a woman. There are only 13 people. No, she did not lose confidence. And then, وَمَا ضَعُفُ That despite what she suffered in her body, still she continued. Still she continued until the Prophet was safe. وَمَا ضَعُفُ وَمَا اسْتَكَانُ Nor did they give in. Nor did they surrender. Nor did they submit. Istakanu is from the root letters seen kaf noon from the word sakana. And what does sakana mean? To become still, to become stationary. And from this, istakana is understood as becoming humble, becoming weak. That when out of grief or out of weakness, a person just becomes still, he does not move around, he doesn't do anything. The word miskeen is from the same root. Who is miskeen? Someone who is poor. The poverty makes him immobile. So mastakanu, they did not become still, meaning they did not stop doing what they were doing. They did not give up. Because when a person stops doing what he's doing, then he becomes still. He doesn't have anything to do. And when a person is struggling in the way of Allah, he's busy. Sometimes he's juggling between so many things. And istakanu is, he leaves everything and goes and sits at home. Wamastakanu. They did not become still in their homes. No. Secondly, it has been said that istakanu is from the root letters kaf wal noon, from the word kaun. The word kana, yakunu, is also from the same root. And kaun is to belong to something or someone. So istakanu, meaning they did not give in, they did not surrender, they did not give themselves under their enemy. They did not surrender themselves under their enemy. They did not come in awe of their enemy. Wamastakanu, they did not humble themselves. They did not give in to the enemy so that the enemy could do whatever the enemy wanted. It's also said that istakana is to show humility before someone, to show submissiveness before someone so that they can do whatever they want. It's like, you know, a person just gives up and he says, fine, go ahead, do whatever you want. I've given up. Just do whatever you want. It's like if a person does not have the strength to argue with someone, he just remains quiet and he says, fine, just say whatever you want. Do whatever you want. I'm not going to do anything. I've given up. So, وَمَسْتَكَانُوا They did not give up. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ And Allah loves those people who are patient. Who are patient again? Those who are steadfast upon the deen. That despite the difficulties they face, they do not lose their confidence, they do not show any weakness, and they do not give in to the enemy. Rather, they keep struggling against the hardships that come their way. This part of the ayah, there are two statements about it. It has been said that they did not lose their confidence out of fear of the enemy. فَمَا وَهَنُوا They did not lose their confidence. Why? Because of the fear of the enemy. They did not ضَعُفُوا They did not feel weak because of the loss of their strength. For instance, if you know that you were 50 people, for instance, the companions who were on the mountain under Abdullah bin Jubayd, they were initially 50. 40 left. How many were left? About 9 or 10, according to some others, 8. So only a few were left. So did they give up because of the loss of their strength? No, they didn't. They continued. Nor did they succumb with humility. Nor did they succumb to the enemy with humility. Secondly, it has been said that they did not lose their confidence because of the killing of their prophet, because of the murder of their prophet. When the prophet was killed, they did not lose their confidence. So the Sahaba are being encouraged that before you, the prophet, and along with him the Ribbiyun, when they fought in the way of Allah, if the prophet got killed, then the Ribbiyun, they did not lose their confidence because of that. Nor did they show weakness to their enemy, nor did they succumb and give up in the face of what they suffered. They did not give up at all. So what does this show? That true sabr, patience, is to not give up. It is to have confidence. It is to not show any weakness. It is to not give in. It is to continue until the last moment. This is what sabr is. Because trials, difficulties, they will come a person's way, especially when he is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sabr is to remain steadfast despite whatever happens. Sometimes you yourself are telling yourself, I cannot do it. This is very difficult. I'm getting very tired. I'm getting overexhausted. It's not possible for me. And sometimes other people are discouraging. Are you sure you can do it? I don't think you can do it. Huh? So trials come. Difficulties come. Tests come. But sabr is to continue to do what you're doing despite whatever happens. And such people are praised over here. And what does Allah say? Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves those people who are patient. Allah loves them. Recitation.
وكأين من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين.
So in order to have sabr, what three things do we have to do? What does this ayah teach us? مَا وَهَنُوا. To not have wahan, meaning to have determination, to be determined, to stay motivated. Secondly, وَمَا ضَعُفُوا. What does that mean? That to have sabr, we have to have physical strength. Thirdly, وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. That a person must have positive resistance. He must be able to resist the enemy or the trials, the difficulties, the challenges, the hurdles that come his way and not give in. These three things are essential for a person if he wishes to be of those who are steadfast.
وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا.
And their words were not, but they said, رَبَّنَا, O our Lord,
اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا,
forgive us our sins, وَإِسْرَافَنَا, and the excess committed,
فِي أَمْرِنَا, in our affairs,
وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, and plant firmly our feet,
وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ,
and give us victory over the disbelieving people. This is what was coming out of their mouths. When we are in a difficult situation, what do we typically do? Either we say, no way, I'm not doing this, and we retreat. Or we lose our confidence, or we show some weakness, we say, I'm too tired, I can't do this anymore. Or, if not that, we have negative statements on our tongues. We're uttering words of negativity. We're complaining, but what are the words of such people? Of Ribbiyun, وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ. The only statement that they utter, the only thing that they say. At what time? When they're suffering hardship. When they're suffering the difficulty, when they're in the midst of the battle, when the Prophet has been killed, what do they say? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. They say, O our Lord, forgive us our sins. You see, your speech, what does it reflect? Your thoughts, your heart. Whatever is in your heart, whatever is in your mind, is going to come out on your tongue. It's going to be shown through your words. So, what are they saying? They're seeking forgiveness. For what? For their sins. Dhunub refers to minor sins. Why are they saying this? Shouldn't they be saying that, O Allah, help us? O Allah, give us strength?
Oh Allah, don't let me give up. Why are they saying forgive us our sins? Why do you think? Because sometimes it is our sins that prevent us from moving on. It is our sins that create difficulties for us. It is our own sins. Inshallah, as we will read in the end of the lesson, that those people who turned away, those Muslims, those believers who turned away from defending the Prophet ﷺ or from obeying the Prophet ﷺ, why did they do that? Because shaitan had made them slip because of what they had done, meaning because of the sins that they had committed in the past. So sometimes, because of the sins that we commit, we cannot move on. This is why we seek maghfirah. What is maghfirah? To cover, to protect. Meaning we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the consequence of our sins. What is the consequence? Yes, it is punishment in the hereafter, but there is also punishment in the dunya. Remember, as I mentioned to you earlier, that there are two types of punishments. Qadri and Shari. Shari, okay, if it's a crime, then you get a legal punishment. But if a person lies, if a person is not sincere, then is there a legal punishment for that? Are you going to cut his tongue off? No, you're not going to do that. Similarly, if a person breaks a promise, is there a shari punishment for that? No. So there is punishment, but that punishment is qadri. And part of that is that a person faces a lot of difficulties. Life becomes difficult. Life becomes difficult. Things become difficult. So what should a person do at the time of difficulty? Complain? Why this and why that? Give up? No. Continue and at the same time seek forgiveness. So the only thing that they were saying was that رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. O our Lord, forgive us our sins. وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. And also forgive us our extravagance in our affair. Which affair of ours? Which amr of ours? The affair of our deen. The amr of our deen. The word israf is from the root letter sin rafa. And israf is to be extravagant, to be excessive, to leave the balance. This is what israf is. And when a person leaves moderation, he goes into extremes. And extreme is of two types. First of all, ghulu, that a person overdoes, or a person exceeds in doing what he should do. For instance, we know about Isa alayhi salam, that he was a messenger of Allah, and the people, they loved him. But in their love for the messenger, what did they do? In their defense of the messenger, they did ghulu, meaning they took him to the level of son of God. So this is one type of israf. The second type of israf is taqseer. And what does taqseer mean? To fall short in doing something. To reduce in doing something. So for instance, we are required to pray 5 times a day. But what does a person do? He falls short in performing the 5 daily prayers and he performs only 2. Or he performs only 3. What is that? Israf. So, اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا. Forgive us our sins and also forgive us our israf, our excessiveness. Because human beings, we forget. We are weak. And it's not possible for us to maintain balance all of the time. Isn't it so? It's not possible for us to maintain balance all of the time. Like you will see, 1 week goes really well. You have your lesson memorized, you go home, the house is clean, the children are happy, you have the food cooked at the right time, you yourself are not stressed out, you yourself are not physically tired. And another week, everything's messed up. You feel as though you haven't cleaned your house in days. Similarly, that your lesson is being compromised, your children are unhappy, you are physically tired. Because we're human beings, we're not able to maintain the balance all of the time. And believe me, even those people who don't study the deen, who don't work for the deen, even the same thing happens with them as well. While they're at home, still, they're not able to maintain balance. It happens. Because we're human beings. So this is why we seek Allah's forgiveness for the dhunub as well as israf. It is said that dhunub refers to minor sins, and israf refers to major sins. So we see over here, they are declaring, they're announcing that whatever they are suffering is because of what? It is a result of their own evil deeds. And this is a part of showing humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember we learned earlier that if a person wants to get the help of Allah, what should he do? He should show humility. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ. You were أَذِلَّ. You were weak. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you. Why? Because when a person is in a state of humility, then that invites the mercy of Allah. So over here, why are they saying this? To show humility in order to get the mercy of Allah. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا And make firm our feet. ثَبِّتْ from ثَبَتْ Which is to stand firm, to be stabilized. So ثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا أَقْدَام is a plural of قَدَم So keep our feet firm. How? By giving firmness to our hearts. Your feet will only be firm when your heart is firm. You can only be constant, you can only be steadfast when your heart is steadfast. When you have confidence in your heart. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا Keep us steadfast. Don't let us turn around. Don't let us escape. You help us. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ And help us against the people who are disbelieving. Because it was the قَوْمُ الْكَافِرِينَ that they were fighting against. What do we learn from this ayah? First of all, we learn that in difficult times, what should a person do? He should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of panicking, instead of complaining, instead of talking to other people about it, instead of crying and wailing and shouting, what should a person do? Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times when we're in a difficult situation, you know, for instance, things are getting too rough for us, too difficult for us, we will discuss the problem with one person, then we will discuss it with another person, then we will discuss it with another person, and we forget to discuss it with Allah. We forget to discuss our problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We forget to make dua to Allah. Many times, students come to me and they tell me about how they have spent so much time in trying to memorize a lesson, but still, they're unable to do so. They've studied so hard, but still, they fail the test. They're trying so hard, but still they cannot keep up with the lessons. What is it that is needed? Yes, we should talk to people to get their advice, but at the same time, what should we do? Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah. Also, we see that in difficult times, what should a person do? He should look at his own difficulties. He should reflect upon what he has done and not blame other people. For instance, you know, you are having your lesson memorized really well and you say, maybe, you know, it's evil eye. Maybe it's evil eye. Everything was perfectly fine. I literally feel as if, you know, this is evil eye. So instead of blaming other people, instead of, you know, coming up with a conspiracy theory, what should a person do? Look at his own faults. Did I do something wrong? Am I still doing something wrong? I've learned the Quran. I've learned about so many things. Is it that I'm learning and I'm not acting upon it? Maybe because I'm not acting upon it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving me any more tawfiq. Maybe I should check myself. And for that again, a person should not just stay in the state of guilt. I'm so bad that Allah will not give me any more. No, what should a person do? Start seeking forgiveness. So when a person is in a difficult situation, first of all, he should make dua. Secondly, he should reflect, he should look into his own faults. And thirdly, he should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he should also pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness of israf. For forgiveness of israf. Sometimes, even in ibadah, even when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we go into an extreme. We burn ourselves, and then we don't have the strength to continue anymore. For instance, we know that because israf is what? To either do ghulu or taqseer. You've been told, memorize your lesson 7 times. If you're unable to do so, okay, go over it 10 times. You haven't been told, go over it 20 times, 25 times, 30 times. But if you say that, no, I have to memorize, and even if it means 20 times, 25 times, I will do it. Okay, it's very good that you're making sure that you know your lesson. But how long can you continue like this? How long? Maybe for 1 week? Maybe for 2 weeks? Eventually you'll fall behind. This is israf. This is exceeding the limit. Remember, israf is not doing what you're supposed to do, but rather israf is doing more than what you're supposed to do, or less than what you're supposed to do. For instance, we learned that the companions, some of them, they came to the houses of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ to inquire about how much the Prophet ﷺ used to worship. When they were informed that this is how much the Prophet ﷺ used to do ibadah, they considered that amount of worship to be insufficient. And they said that, where are we in comparison with the Prophet? while Allah has forgiven his past sins and future sins. So he is a prophet of Allah. If he does less, it's okay for him, but it's not okay for us. We have to do more. One of them said, as for me, I shall offer prayer all night long. All night long I'm going to stand up in prayer. Another said, I shall observe fasting continuously and shall not break it. I will always keep fasts. I will not even take a break for one day. Another said, I shall abstain from women and I shall never get married. The Prophet ﷺ came and he was told about what they had said. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, are you the ones who said such and such things? By Allah, I fear Allah more than you do, and I am most obedient and dutiful among you to Him. But still, I fast some days and I don't fast other days. I pray at night and I also sleep. And I married. And whoever does not follow my sunnah does not belong to me. So what does this show to us? That in our deen also, we have to maintain balance. We cannot go to extremes. Sometimes, in our love for deen, in our commitment to the deen, sometimes we burn ourselves out. And when we do that, we cannot go on anymore. We cannot go on anymore. But again, what is required is balance. We should not fall into taqseer. Remember that. We should not fall into taqseer, because sometimes people say, oh, you should not do too much because it will become too difficult for you, so leave it. No, don't leave it totally. That would be another extreme. Stay in the middle. Stay balanced. Sometimes, you know, when we're studying or when we're reciting or when we're doing something, we ignore ourselves. We forget to eat. We forget to rest. We forget to take care of ourselves. And as a result, what happens? We become weak. Then we don't have the strength to continue anymore. But if you maintain the balance, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you also take care of yourself, only then you can excel. Many times when people start studying the deen or working for the deen, they reach up to a certain level and either they excel or they regress or they go backwards. They fall behind. Typically, this is what at least I've noticed. And why is it that people excel? When they have balance in their lives. And balance means that you do what you're supposed to do, and at the same time, you also give the haqq of your family. You give the haqq of your household. Give yourself your haqq as well. And when a person does not maintain that balance, then what happens? He says, this is too difficult for me. I cannot do it. So therefore, I'm going to stop. That is another extreme. What is required is balance. And you can only excel in the deen with balance. You can only excel with balance.
Assalamu alaikum. So I was just making connection with the verses yesterday and today that every one of us is striving for a goal. And it reminded me the call of Umar radiallahu anha as well, that when they were fighting in the battle of Uhud and Abu Sufyan, he said that these are the days, some days somebody win and some days somebody lose. And today we won. And Umar radiallahu anha said that our martyrs are in Jannah and your people who died, dead people, they are in the Jahannam, and their still score is not same, right? So again, because we all have the goals to achieve. So achieving goal, we need what? We need helpers, supporters sometimes. And what happens sometimes when we lose the helpers and the supporters, we again start slacking behind. We feel weak, right? Just mentioned here, wahan, we start feeling weak. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Like, we had been given a messenger as well. He was our leader. He is a supporter, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us connection direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all are supposed to fight, work, do jihad, even it's kind of study or whatever it is, either learning or teaching, right? So it should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we have no middle thing, no middle connection, we have direct connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we stay what? Steadfast. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. So shakirin upon what? On being steadfast. How important it is to stay steadfast, right? So it just got my attention. The two times the word shakirin came here again and again. And who is Allah? As Sister Tamia just mentioned, اللَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Because he's always there, said it never lets us get weak. So alhamdulillah, it really gave me a strength as well. That again, it is mentioned, وَمَا ضَعَفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. Again and again, this beat is coming. And this being, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding for these things as well. And while we are working in the way of Allah, we are being steadfast, we are going to face the hardships. Never give up, never feel weak. Always have direct relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while you are making mistakes, we do make mistakes, right? Everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So whole lesson, mashallah, all the verses are connected with one another if we really ponder upon the lesson.
From what you said, it reminded me that many times we lose our confidence. Why? Because of our mistakes. Isn't it? We lose our confidence because of our mistakes. Say, I cannot do it because I've made too many mistakes. So sometimes, because of our mistakes, we lose our confidence. What should a person do? What's the right way? Lose his confidence or seek forgiveness for that mistake? Seek forgiveness for that mistake. Because insan is from nisyan. He will forget. He will make mistakes. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. This ayah also teaches us that a person should fear that because of his sins, he might lose the help of Allah. He might lose the help of Allah because of his sins. Yesterday we learned that who are the muhsineen? Those who, whenever they commit a fahisha or ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And it shows that they did not commit the sin on purpose in the first place. It was by mistake. So, if a person commits a mistake, it was an error, he should seek forgiveness. But deliberately committing sins? If a person commits sins deliberately, then he should fear that he might lose the help of Allah. He should fear that. And without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are nothing. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ. So Allah gave them the reward of this world and the good reward of the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those people who do ihsan, who do good. As a result of their actions and their words. What were their actions? فَمَا وَهَنُوا وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. What were their words? رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So because of their words and because of their actions, Allah gave them the reward. Which reward? ثواب الدنيا, the reward of the dunya. And what's the reward of dunya? Victory, success, عِزَّة, glory, fame, victory over the enemy, غَلَبَ over the enemy. وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. And also the excellent reward of the hereafter. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةِ. So آتَاهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the reward of the dunya. What is the reward of the dunya? Victory, fame, عِزَّة, glory. Some have said that the reward of dunya, because it is in the context of battle, it refers to ghanima, it refers to booty. However, we learn from a hadith that the previous umam, the previous nations, they were not allowed to use, or they were not allowed to take war booty. If they were victorious in a battle, they were supposed to collect the war booty, and they weren't allowed to use it. So فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. And he also gave them the excellent reward of the hereafter. Notice for the reward of the hereafter, it has been said وَحُسْنَ, excellent. Why excellent? In two ways. First of all, the reward of the hereafter compared to the dunya is husn. It is excellent, it is much better. If a person has everything of the dunya, but he doesn't have anything of the akhirah, what good is that benefit of the dunya? It's nothing. And we learn that the place that is covered by a whip in Jannah is much better than the entire world and everything within it. So the reward of the hereafter is husn. It is much better compared to the reward of the dunya. Secondly, husna denotes extra favor in addition to what is deserved. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the reward in the hereafter, it is much more than what a person has brought of good deeds. One good deed is multiplied many, many times. So وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who do ihsan. So what's the reward of the akhirah? that they are given. What's the reward of the Akhirah? Jannah. And not just Jannah, but the darajat of Jannah. And not just the darajat of Jannah, qurb, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ridwan of Allah, and at the same time, maghfirah, forgiveness from Allah. Ajr, great reward, more than what they deserve. What do we learn from this ayah? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the believers that when you are in this situation, that when you are striving for the deen of Allah, striving for the sake of Allah, and when you face challenges, what should your actions be like and what should your words be like? If you do this, then you will get benefit in the dunya and also in the akhirah. You will gain in this dunya and also in the akhirah. When? On the condition that you perform certain actions and say some words as well. فَآتَاهُمْ. It's fa. What does fa show? Because of their words, because of their actions. Also we learn from this ayah that a true muhsin is one who brings ihsan in his actions and his words. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Who are the muhsineen? Those who say some things and who do some things. The ones that have been mentioned in the previous verses. Also we learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards, He rewards both in the dunya and the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy overcomes His anger. When it comes to rewarding, there is reward in the dunya and also in the akhirah. But when it comes to punishment, if a person has suffered the punishment in the dunya, then he does not get the punishment in the akhirah. And if a person is given the punishment in the akhirah, then many times he is not given the punishment in the dunya. There is a hadith that is mentioned in Al-Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْحُدُودَ كَفَّارَةٌ. The hudud, meaning the legal punishments, they are a kafara, meaning they expiate for the sin that a person has committed, and he will not be punished in the hereafter. However, for some sins, we do learn that there is punishment in the dunya as well as the akhirah. Why? Because of the enormity of those sins. But the hudud, the legal punishments, if a person has been given the legal punishment in the dunya, then there is no legal punishment in the hereafter. So this shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy overcomes His anger. That He gives reward in the dunya and the akhirah for the smallest deed that a person does. Recitation?
وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
You see in these ayahs we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who are first sabirin and then muhsinin. So if a person wishes to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what should he do? Sabr and ihsan.